Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Croppens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So now we go to the Ocean State School of Gymnastics because Narula and her daughter Layla, we're going to practice gymnastics. Okay, well, okay, why don't we do some straddle jumps? Okay, I'm going to do a jump. Okay, I wish I could do a back tuck, but I'm not going to risk it. And so she does a front tuck into the ball foam pit.
She's like, wow, this is amazing. I wish I could retire and do this every day.
Brian's like, oh, so you would like to stay out of the house and be at a specific location every day for a certain number of hours? Great, I support it.
This is the first time you've been around things that match your energy on this show. Just the blocks of foam in that fucking pit.
I know, right? So we go to Rosie's house and she's like, Rich, I'm going to put on some eye masks. Which one should I do, clouds or bows? He's like, I really don't give a fuck.
How about something that wasn't made for five-year-olds with eye bags?
I know.
About that.
And then we wind up in Cranston at Twin Oaks Restaurant. And Alicia's there, and
I wonder if those oaks resent each other deep down.
Oaks are like, we look nothing alike. And I'm like the younger oak. So Alicia is, she's there. She's like, there's something about Twin Oaks with my family that's like nostalgic, you know, because like, you know, it's nice. It's a restaurant. And they're like, hey, Susan, what's up? They come in because their daughter, Selena, won a trophy for dancing.
Yeah, she won like the state championship. It's a big deal. And we're here all getting together, like we're gonna celebrate because she won a national title. Like, you know, like, wait, what did she win? Wait, hold on, let me think about it. Oh, it's a title, it's a championship. Hold on, what's it called? There's a name for it.
Miss Title.
Miss Title. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and so all the ants, the mom, the ants are there. The ants have multiplied. Something has happened. We've now gone up from like four or five ants to like 10 of them. There's just more and more ants every single time. And honestly, I can't get enough. The more ants, the better. Like, I love the ants.
It's like watching DNA split under a microscope. Just keep popping up. And each one is more than the last one.
Doing, honey, you did something, Miss Title. We're so proud of you. Yeah, we're so proud of you. You did it, Mr. Who are you? I just popped up.
Just split off.
Oh, this one just split spawned.
Off onto your auntie arm.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's Sharon over there. And that's Sharon number two.
I love each one has been more wronged by a man than the next one. And
yeah.
So, and they're just bitter and jaded, but they're like, what you gonna do? You get to this age, you just live with it.
Yeah.
Well, you got a crown in there, honey? What is that? A crown? It's like, yeah, it's like Miss America, but for like, you know, the dance world. It's like huge ba. So
Twin Oaks.
She tells us about Twin Oaks and she's like, it's such a staple of Rhode Island. There's just something about it, you know? It's like out of a movie. You know, but the rumors are like that the mob used to hang out at the bar there a lot, like crooked cops, crooked lawyers, you know, it's like basically it's like dating. It's where you go to date.
Is there a place in Rhode Island where the mob did not hang out? It's a pretty small state. And there's like a very high ratio of mob to land mass in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So I think they're pretty much, the mob has hung out like at all the restaurants.
There's also such a pride in this town of just being a shitty person. You know, it's like, wow, we love this restaurant. It's where all the crooked cops came. That's where I bring my daughter, who just won a national title.
If you need to bribe someone to get out of the pocket ticket, you come here, get them some garlic bread, you're set, you're good to go.
So now Alicia's cousin Brianna Nicole is there. Brianna Nicole. I feel like Brianna Nicole is always in a state of having to pick up the laundry from the floor. Brianna Nicole, can you pick up the laundry on the floor? Why are you leaving
so
it there?
So bad they just use both names at all times.
It's like, what has been going on? I've not seen you. The summer's been so crazy. She's like, oh my God, there's so much going on. You don't even know. Like, Selena, pay attention. You know what? Selena, move to the other end of the table. I don't want you to listen to this. You're a stalker.
And the daughter's like, yeah. She has to go to the other side. That was me around my mom's friends. Yeah. They're like, please go over there. Because I go to school the next day. And be like, did you hear what that bitch Jackie did to Hilda? It was ugly.
Hilda. Oh,
my
God.
Mom's friends.
Miss Title, get out of here. So Alicia's like, everyone come closer so my stalker daughter doesn't listen. Okay, Aunt Judy. Okay, and Aunt Judy number three, get over here. Okay. I've been hanging out with these girls and we all went to the castle and we all wore a mask and everyone would share their emotions. And, you know, I couldn't even have a Triscuit. It was so intense. And I talked about my dad and things I remembered, remember? And I was like, one of the things I remember is that, like, basically my father, he left me for homeless. And then Liz went, he's like, you're not homeless. And then we were in the car to Boston, and all of a sudden, I don't know, something just like snapped, you know?
And her mom's like, oh yeah, we were homeless. We were homeless. Yeah,
we were homeless. What's this girl talking about?
Yeah.
How could she do that?
They were homeless. I remember they were homeless. They were homeless.
That's not a friend right there.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a friend right there.
Marissa, you remember them being homeless? Yeah, they were homeless. They were homeless. They were homeless. They were more homeless you can imagine.
Homeless with a bed. Don't you fuck with me, all right? Homeless. Add on to the bed. What kind of friend are you?
Don't break up my sports car bed.
Homeless with a bed. You had cabinets. What are you bringing up the cabinets right now for? We were homeless. With cabinets in the bed.
I still miss my Corvette bed.
Didn't Alicia have like a convertible bed?
Yeah, a little race car bed.
So Alicia's like, I've known Liz since I was born. And like, she should know better. But you know what? She's abusive. Sorry. I it feels good to say that. Sorry.
I'm like, oh, that's coming back at the reunion. Big time.
Yeah. That's, if you say that someone's abusive, and your best friend, that this is going to be an issue right
Liz
there.
Liz is going to get so mad she's going to abuse her ass at the reunion.
Like,
anyway.
She'd be like, let me show you how non-abusive I am by tearing her apart right now.
Yeah, exactly. So Alicia's saying she embarrassed me. She's focused on trying to destroy me. And, and the mom's like, you know, she's got to, you know what? She wants to walk in the room right now. Is she going to pretend she's your friend?
I don't know, because I'm not talking. I haven't answered her phone or call her back. And I think that she's just like a little bit jealous. You know what? Like, because you know what? You know why? Because like you have a perfect life. That's why.
And the mom says,
yeah, and she's like, no, I don't have a perfect life. It's far from perfect, Ma. It's far from perfect. And so she's saying, yeah, you know, I don't agree with my family. My life's not perfect. I'm not married yet. I've been engaged for 9 years. Like, I don't even like the way Billy proposed to me. Like, he didn't even give me my Cinderella moment. Mm-hmm. Where's my Cinderella moment?
Well, you know, we didn't see Cinderella get proposed to either, to be fair.
Cinderella didn't have great moments, really. I mean, she had, like, one.
And honestly,
she had to, like, clean a lot, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, like, maybe she should have cleaned better.
Yeah. I feel like you should compare yourself to a Disney princess who didn't have to work so hard. Like, where's my Snow White moment? What'd that lady ever do?
What about Belle? Belle
literally did nothing.
She just walked around and got books.
She read
she actually
all
very annoying.
Fucking day. And back then, that wasn't when they were like, oh my God, you're reading. You're so smart. Like, if you read a book now, people are like, oh, you are so smart. You read. Back then, it was like sitting around like watching TV all day. Mm-hmm. You know?
And she would annoy everyone, saying hello to everyone. I'm like, oh God, I got to say, I got to be perky for this fucking asshole coming through the town, being like, hello, bonjour. I'm like, you know what? Let me just wipe this counter down.
I know. It's like Belle. We all want to give her credit because she was like the first one to marry an ugly dude for his mansion.
More like Belle.
Wow.
More like Belle Biv DeNoe. Get out of my face. So Alicia's Aunt Judy comes in and
Sleepy Beauty.
By the way, I'm Aaliyah, Sleepy I'm sorry. I'm making bad jokes over here.
It's Aaliyah quitting.
Aaliyah just had a look on her face like, wow,
what am I doing with my life? But also, Sleeping Beauty is the laziest bitch out of all time.
She still got
everything. What'd she do? She did nothing but sleep all day.
She had like one job, which was like not to get your finger pricked.
Yeah.
Like true. how often in your life does your finger really get pricked?
Wasn't that Rapunzel?
No, Rapunzel had the hair.
Oh, but wasn't Rapunzel the one who was stuck with the weaver guy, the troll who was like weaving shit?
That's Rumpelstiltskin.
But he wasn't with her?
No, Rumpelstiltskin was like, that's like a real annoying fairy tale.
Oh.
I forget how that worked, but it's something like he basically...
Riddles?
He like stomped his foot into the ground so hard he wound up going into... It's such a low-end fairy tale.
It really is. And like, it's also like an old guy, you know? Like, who wants that?
Yeah, like, you always know you're a bad fairy tale if you haven't been made into a Disney movie already.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, if it hasn't been made, then you're just like, not...
Oh, I remind myself every day. So we see a flashback of her saying, you know, Billy, like, I think it would be nice if you asked me the right way. Like, I don't know, like, surprise me. And he's like, you're almost 50 years old.
Why do you need this?
What surprises you?
Let me tell you something. When Cinderella turned 50, I guarantee Prince Charming was not doing anything special for her anymore. So now the aunts are still talking and Judy's like, So maybe what it is the medication that Liz takes, huh? She's like, no, I don't think she's on anything. But you know what? They deal in medical marijuanas.
Like, she doesn't need it, though. She doesn't need it. You're a liar. That lady doesn't have the medical marijuana. Come on. It's like, no, she doesn't like it, Ma. She does the best with plants. It's very sacred.
No, it's the paranoia from the medicine. I'm telling you that right now, Alicia. Think about it, okay? You can't tell me. I've been around the block.
Yeah, she's been around the block.
Yeah, well, you know what? The crooked cops used to hang out around the block, too. Yeah, I know. I was married to one of them. Oh, yeah.
By the time I was done with him, he was straight again. Motherfucker. We'll break him and put him in a splint.
Now let's go to Wickford, Rhode Island, because Dolores' summer rental is here. So Liz shows up, and Dolores is like, hey, dog, watch out, dog. Liz is here. So Liz is like,
hello, Dolly Wally.
Dog. I know. It was nice to see dog
hey,
again.
Hey, dog.
Liz is like, hello, Dolly Wally. See, I introduced Dolly this episode, but now Dolly Wally. We're just growing fast.
I'm really catching on to me. You know, mommy dressed you up. Ooh, got your coffee croissant. Kelsey's on the way.
So they go sit outside and talk. All the ladies, these three ladies sit out and talk. And so Kelsey's like, well, Joellen texted me. Do you want to hear what she said? She's like, yeah, I want to hear what she said. Okay, and so it begins. Liz and Alicia. I'm trying to calm Liz down, but she thinks everyone's against her. Nothing's helping. I wish you were here. This is all I know.
Yeah, something. She's like, yeah, I mean, well, I need to hear what happened. She's, okay, so we sit in the car, and Alicia starts saying, my mother's saying she's so proud of me for telling my truth. And I said, Alicia, you were never homeless. And as I'm saying it, I got Joellen going, oh, my God, Alicia, your feelings are validated. Your feelings are valid. Oh, my God. And that's coming out of the devil herself, right? Like, so, yeah, now I'm feeling it. I'm feeling offensive that this human is taking the role of a mediator.
Yeah.
And she's like, instead of saying, you know, no, she didn't mean it that way. She's saying she's sorry. Super Joellen is saying, you deserve to feel the way you feel. Nobody has the right to take that away from you. I mean, who the fuck wants to take it away from her? I said I was sorry 1,200 times.
You know, I always question everything that comes out of Joellen because I just feel like it's disingenuous. And Kelsey's like, and Joellen just wants to be liked by everyone. It's like, yeah, you know, what she does is she goes, she's so phony. It's like phony bologna. You go to the deli and you're like, can I get some ham, cheese, and some bologna of the phony variety? Because that's what she is.
Kelsey's like, if I just want to stay out of this. Okay, just leave me out of this. Like, she's already been yelled at by Liz. She's like, no, thanks. So she's like, yeah, I think Liz's problems stem from trust. Like, she doesn't trust Joellen at all, and that's the nucleus of the problems.
Hmm.
Well, thanks, Kelsey.
Yeah, thanks. Have you washed your foot yet? Liz is like, you know, we get in a restaurant, and, like, Joellen, she kept putting her hands on me, like, calm down. Like, that makes me more mad. Like, you're enraged. You're fuming. Like, why are you so nasty?
Oh, you know what? See now? She's making her even more worked up. This is what happens.
Correct. I had no choice but then to shut it down.
Yeah, but eventually, you know what? She's gonna come to her senses. Hey, you know what? I'd reach out to her because you have history.
She's like, Joellen, it is what it is. But when I do look at her and she's like, I'm so kind and like who I've gotten to know through the years, that's not a kind person. Be yourself. You're a horrible human being. Be horrible.
Well, it's funny because she also says, you know, they call me the scary one, but I truly believe Joellen is capable of anything. And this is her thing. I think Liz is like, I'm a nice person and people always think I'm scary and no one ever like is kind to me or they are not open to me because they think I'm scary and I'm not scary. But this whole situation, I think it's hitting this thing in her where she's like, see, and now I'm going to be called scary again. And I think that's what's like setting her off so much.
Yeah. So, and it's also like when you're a bitch, like me, you want to be friends with another bitch. That's just how it goes, like you.
Yeah.
And so if we're both bitches, then we get in a situation with somebody else and you act nice and I'm still acting like a bitch. It's like, right. I thought we were a team. Like,
yeah. The funny thing though,
I'm the only bitch.
But you're not really a bitch. You're just like, you play one on TV, but I'm like really a bitch. But like, for some reason, people think I'm the nice one on this podcast. All the time, people are like, Ben is so sweet. He is so nice and so sweet. I'm like,
you are sweet and nice.
No, I'm not.
But like, you're also a bitch.
People don't realize I'm like, I'm a real bitch. And then if they see that, they'll be surprised. Like, Ben's mean. I'm like, yeah, I've always said I was mean. But for some reason, people say I'm nice.
Because you are not. I don't think you're mean.
No.
To me.
Well, I think I'm.
I mean, I've seen you in action.
That I'm mean. It's just that, like, I have a lot of snotty feelings about things, you know, in a way that I think people are surprised about.
I don't think people would be surprised that you're snotty. I think that's why you're celebrated. I love your snottiness. I feel like people are so weak and can't be snotty anymore. They have to pretend that everything's like the same, and everything's not the same. That's why there's rating systems. That's why there's star systems. There's a Yelp for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's always so funny to me on all these shows how it is always the messenger. It's always the person who's trying to broker peace between two people that winds up in the biggest feud, because what's going to happen is Liz and Alicia are going to, they're going to mend fences, and it's now going to become Liz and Joellen. And this happens on Housewives, on any reality show, over and over and over again. I mean, it's why we have a saying, don't shoot the messenger, because it happens enough that someone...
They literally would kill the messenger. Those books I was reading on Rome, they killed them all the time. The messenger would come and tell them something. They would behead them.
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's also like...
I don't know why anybody is a mailman.
I think ultimately we seem to value people just saying what's on their mind. And even if you're mad at them in that moment, if you have a fight, it's like, well, okay, well, you said what was on your mind. Versus someone who is people who are trying to broker peace, whether it's real or not, are often perceived as phony, because it's like, ultimately, like, who are you trying to, you can't say that you're neutral. That's how people view it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, people would be angrier at someone who they perceive as inauthentic than they would be at someone who might say something that's actually hurtful or mean or whatever. Like, they will always get over something. They'll always get over the beef with the person who said the mean thing or the wrong thing or whatever it is before they get over, someone who they feel like
just
is
the worst that you can't read.
Right. But sometimes someone is being authentic, but they're in a position where someone feels like they're not authentic. And once you have that stink on you of you're not authentic, that's always going to be that'll always be the biggest crime in any of these feuds.
Well.
So think about that, everyone who's stopped listening.
Yeah.
Shout out. Shout out to people who are not here anymore.
At first glance, I thought this next note said Sourdough Beach. And I was like, finally a beach for me. No. Fucking finally, I can go somewhere and take off my shirt, because that's what I look like without my shirt. I look like a new sourdough, and at least it's new. Mm. But like, I look like a new sourdough boule. Is that what they're called?
Boule.
Like the
a boule.
They're called boules.
Yeah,
it's not called boule.
No.
What, have we just forgotten our French?
No, that is you added like a little extra sizzle to it, but it's a boule.
It's a boule.
A boule. Not a boule.
I don't like that. Because my grandfather was Lebanese, and if you were lying, you would say boule. Maybe he was just asking for bread.
Sourdough boule.
It's
boule. Boule.
Hmm. Well, anyway.
I can only imagine how many bakers have been like, do you guys sell sourdough boules?
Well, don't forget, I also live in Texas, so I'm sure that's normal there. I'm kind of like, can I have one of them boules? Hand it over.
I have a boule, like, please. Oh,
someone's speaking French.
I got a nice boule over here.
Boule. Boule me forever.
Boule, you stay. I feel like I look like, I feel like what I look like without a shirt on is a piece of naan. Just like kind of flat but lumpy in areas.
That's good though. You've got the flatness down, and who doesn't love naan?
I love naan.
Me too.
But I think like if bread were like a body goal, what would you want? I think you would probably want to be like a ciabatta, right? It's got the ripples like abs. On top, maybe.
I would want to be a breadstick.
Like a baguette. Or as you might call it, a baguette.
Baguette.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we have a Rosie and Rich scene where they go to film at the beach with their whole family. And I'm fast forwarding through a lot of this because this whole scene is like, when are you going to have kids?
Yeah.
What kind of life are you going to live if you don't have kids, huh? What are you, how old are you? How are your ovaries, honey? Huh? How your eggs doing, honey? You guys going to make kids? Ain't no life worth living without the fucking kids. What are you doing with this?
Shut up about you and your fucking kids, you human polluters. All of you people dropping all these losers all over the place. I'm sick of picking up your litter and hearing your kids run around. Just everybody stop having kids. They're like, what's going to happen to the human race? Maybe it'll end. And yeah. God bless the earth.
Yeah, because for every doctor you birth, you also birth a Kelsey sticking her bare foot into a pail of garbage.
Yes, okay? you have one doctor and then you have 20 people who are like drinking fucking Drano because they saw it on TikTok, you know?
That's why you have the doctor to take care exactly. of those idiots. But one thing I will say, my takeaway on this that I did enjoy was that I actually think that Rich and Rosie have a really good banter. Like, they have a really good rapport that feels very healthy to me, which means they'll probably get divorced. But I have to say, I think that they have, like, I like their vibe together. I think that, like, he gives it to her, she gives it back. It's like, because then we're going to go right into, I believe, an Ashley scene. Yeah, it's an Ashley scene. Because it struck me, they have a really... I really enjoy their banter. And then when we go to Ashley, you can see that Ashley's almost like afraid to say things to her husband. She's like, oh, you hate it. You love it when I'm here, right? So
they've
always
had that dynamic too. Because even on Bachelor in Paradise, where they got together, I covered that season. And she was like, oh, I'm Jared's best friend, but we don't have anything more there. I mean, Jared, maybe I like him. And it's like, he's like dating all these other people. And then you'd see Jared like literally trying to be with anybody else. And finally at the end, he's like, well, I guess no one else is into me. So I guess it's you, Ashley. And she's like, are you sure? And so they've got this like fucked up dynamic that has lasted into their marriage. And like, she's the gorgeous, I mean, he's pretty hot, but she's like the gorgeous model who's making all the money and being famous. And he's just kind of this hot, not schlubby in a looks way. He's a hot guy, but he's just nice kind looking. Of this like, oh, I just want to stay in my coffee shop and make some fucking coffee and just be left alone and like play my PlayStation. Is that too much to ask? You know, and she's the one acting like she's punching up.
But she's actually punching down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, let's move on to Audrey's. So I was like, what's going on with Audrey's? Because it's like, oh, it's not making money. Well, I noticed a few things. One, I decided to look around Audrey's in the scene. And I looked at it. This is an enormous space. I should have realized it last week when they had their trivia night. But like, it's very big. It's very airy. This is too big for a coffee shop. I'm sorry. So you're losing money because you don't have it's not cozy the way a coffee shop should be. A coffee shop should either be cozy or chic, and it's neither of those things. So
Needs a chandelier.
Like, if I'm going into a coffee shop, I want to either go to a Blue Bottle where everything is sleek and like a stark and I feel very cool and hip, or I want to go into someplace cozy. Like, I want to go to a Central Perk place with comfy couches. But either way, this was just sort of like it's like a very big generic space. It's echoey. It just, if you look in the background, it goes forever. There's couches, there's tables, there's a fireplace. It just goes, it goes and goes. I was like, okay.
I think it's in a mall. I think I read somewhere that it's like in a mall or it's part of a shopping center. So it's also not convenient to go to. Like, you're not going to go to the Starbucks at the mall unless you're at the mall.
Right.
You know?
But if it's part of a strip mall, like, okay, fine. But then on top of that, we have this whole scene here that we're about to get into about...
But wait, I want to still talk about coffee shops.
No, it's part of that.
Okay.
It's that then... I like that. That
we're
was
only
like,
an hour into
way,
this.
We that was like a coffee. Very serious moment. You're like, no, we have... No, and this whole scene is about like cocktails and like we have a cocktail program we want to introduce...
I literally am not going to your coffee shop to drink booze.
This is why you're a failing business. No one goes to coffee shops for their cocktails. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's called a coffee shop. And actually, then I saw the sign. It's called Audrey's Coffee and... It's not Coffee and Cocktails, but it's Coffee and something else.
Choice.
But it was like, this is your problem. It's mixed messaging. You just cannot make... You cannot... You're not... If Audrey's becomes like super successful, maybe you can bring that in. Starbucks couldn't even do this. Starbucks introduced a fancy line of Starbucks. Do you remember these Starbucks? They were like the nice Starbucks. Aaliyah, did you ever see those nice Starbucks?
The stores?
There were these like their specialty Starbucks. There was one that used to be on La Brea. and you could get like beers on tap. I don't know if you could get like cocktails, but you could get alcohol.
Weird.
Did not take off.
Well,
I'm like so mad about this point. I'm like, they're serving alcohol. They shouldn't. It's like you either be a bar or you're a coffee shop.
Yeah,
but you can't be like a mix of this and that or whatever.
Yeah, pick a lane.
Pick a lane. Today and I have a big footprint.
It is amazing how much design really does matter. So I went to 3 coffee shops today because we're in Soho and I wanted to walk around. I was here early. And so I went to the closest one, which is this one.
I went there with Michelle once. It has like the thing in this middle, right?
Well, it's just like a little small, tiny place. You walk in, there's just like a counter and like some little benches that you can sit at.
Oh, I went to a different place.
And you just walk in, it's very simple. Okay. And I was like, I don't want to go in there because I don't like, is there pastry? And then down the street, there's one called Velvet. And you look in and it's just gorgeous, glittering pastries. And there was a line around the store to get into that one. So I didn't want to go to that one because it was a line. Mm-hmm. So I went to one down the block. I forget what it was called. And it was just ugly. It was like, what are you, a 7-Eleven or a coffee shop? I'm not even going in there.
It was a Radio Shack.
Yeah. Going in there.
And they're selling old keyboards.
Yeah. And the girl was like spraying like Banaka in her mouth. I'm like, I want to get coffee from you. Stinky breath. So I walked back. Ultimately, I went to Velvet. I mean, it looked gorgeous. It has a line around the block. It's like the pastries are gleaming. Yeah. You're going to go in there. They didn't have decaf coffee, though. So I got my pastry from there, and I still ended up at La Colombe. But at least in there, you know.
La Colombe is really
good.
It's
going to go fast, and it's good. They're simple. You know, you see what you're getting with each one. Audrey's is like, what are you, a trivia night?
That's the thing.
Is it a pogo stick competition? Like, what are we doing? Am I getting coffee? What's happening?
And also, the thing is that, like, there is, like, an aesthetic for coffee shops. And if you don't follow that aesthetic, then what it sort of says to the consumer is they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so therefore, the coffee's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And like, why am I going to waste my time here? Because the thing is I actually sometimes don't even like a coffee shop that looks a little too bougie and fancy. Like, I don't want a coffee shop that looks like it's for influencers. I want a coffee shop that, again, I just want it to... I want the coffee shop to be a lifestyle that I aspire to. If you think about it, the coffee at most of these places is largely going to be the same. Some places have better coffee and you can taste, but like by and large, like I think the average person really is not going to taste a huge difference between too many of the coffees. You might notice this coffee is a little bit more acidic or this or that, but a lot of times the reason why I think we're gravitating towards certain coffee shops is because we like what that coffee shop says about us and how we feel when we go there. And when I go to certain coffee shops, I feel smarter. I feel artsier. I feel whatever. I feel more motivated to do my thing. But if I go into a coffee shop that is like just doesn't have the right vibe, it feels like a waste of a coffee shop experience. I can't explain it. When we go
I think you're explaining it well. I mean,
I don't like to say like, I go to a coffee shop because it makes me feel like I'm smarter or whatever. It's like, it's embarrassing to say that. But I think if I really drill down, some of these places are about the vibe you want to be surrounded by. Because coffee is ultimately coffee.
Well, it's everything. You know? Like every place you go into is like that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's not. For me, all a coffee shop is a place that has a croissant. That's all I think about. So maybe that makes me a croissant of a human being. Like, I don't know. I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I will get coffee in an average place.
But if I'm going to go be on my couch with the croissant.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, there is like a vibe that you're going for. And by the way, I say coffee is coffee. And I know different coffee shops, they do literally have different flavors. Like, you can tell a difference. But ultimately, like, if two coffee shops have the exact same coffee, you know, if you go to, how about this? You go to you're staying at a hotel and the little cafe downstairs says, we proudly serve La Colombe coffee. And then there's like La Colombe down the street. I'm probably going to go to La Colombe down the street because I like the vibe there more, you know?
Yeah.
So I've proven something.
So the point is Audrey sucks.
Audrey sucks.
I can't believe this place is still fucking open.
Yeah.
So Ashley's there and she's like, I'm actually starving. Can you make me a grilled cheese or like tomato soup or no tomatoes? Oh God, would tomato soup be ridiculous? And he's like, oh no, she says, can I have a grilled cheese but without the tomato soup? Would that be ridiculous?
Yes.
Lady.
You own the place.
You own the place. Just get a grilled cheese. Or actually, how about this? Why don't you go back there and put the two pieces of bread and the butter down on the hot plate that you need to do, and then put the cheese on it, and you'll be ready in 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're the owner. Get back there and work. So there, she's decided she's going to make this a more profitable coffee shop by bringing in cocktails, as you mentioned. We're going to do a summer menu. You hate me being here, don't you? She's like, I mean, not any more than I hate you being at home or in my life in general. Sit down.
So they start experimenting with some cocktails to make for this coffee shop, which already I don't like that they're making cocktails, but they're doing it. And so he makes like this neon blue cocktail. I was like, what are you like? If a coffee shop is going to serve cocktails, and it does happen, it can happen. Like, why are you serving a cheesy ass blue cocktail from 1993? Like, what is happening
here?
This
is not like a frat place.
Yeah, no one serves blue cocktails anymore. Like, this is not how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it should be like artisanal.
I mean, it's Rhode Island.
Yeah, I guess so. It should be artisanal, and it should be like muddled, and there should be lime leaves everywhere. But you know what they got? They also have, I also noticed this too at this coffee shop, the back wall had all those Italian syrups.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like whenever I see that, I'm like, this is not my vibe.
You're not serious people.
I don't feel like that's
like the guy
I don't,
from Succession.
Yeah.
You're not serious people.
I don't think that's what coffee shops in 2026 are
doing.
Yeah,
the Torrini.
Those syrups are like, they're like a relic of 1997.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so out of touch. Like, these are people who don't know what they're doing. Well, I have not been this fired up in a month. I'm like so mad about this coffee shop.
It's so funny. Yeah, that blue drink actually triggered me too. I was like, can you just get a vodka soda at this place? Because then the other one they made was also a really brightly colored thing.
Like, make a mojito. Like,
yeah, why are we making these for like college girls on their first spring?
It's like they
break,
don't know what, you know? Like, these are people that just don't know what they have no frame of reference.
But I think maybe they're trying to bring the kids into drinking, which is actually smart because they had trivia night and they had all the kids in there. There were like a lot of kids. And so I think they're trying to make alcohol look good to the kids, and then they should open a bar across the street. So create some alcoholics young who like your brand, and then you transition them into alcoholism. So I think it could be a good idea. I just don't think they're thinking on that level.
But you know what's also annoying is that you know that this place is like last calls at 9:30. You know they close at probably 10
God,
o'clock.
Like 7.
8 or 10.
Yeah, like
so 7. You're like, you want to like, well, you're trying to like court some sort of like happy hour thing. Like, so you're not going to be bar enough to be a bar. You're not going to be coffee shop enough to be a coffee shop. So just like burn the whole thing down.
I say burn it down.
Burn it down.
For sure.
Yeah. Burn it down.
Yeah. So this scene was sad because he clearly hates her. And so do you. So that works.
I just think she's a poor casting choice. I'm sorry.
And
I have not understood why she's on this show yet.
I mean, yeah, I like her. I get it.
I know
she
why.
She hasn't really earned her stripes, especially like the other ladies on here are putting in a lot more, except for you, Rula. But at least she has a cheating husband, you know? And she's Lebanese, which I always approve of.
Yeah.
So then this is boring. So then we go to Kelsey's apartment, and she has easels. So we learned something about Kelsey today, which is that she is a somewhat higher-end mediocre artist, which I was very surprised. She can draw.
Yeah, she like did some art that was like, you know, when they do those commercials or they used to do them like, oh, it's a starving artist sale at the airport, you know, where they do, like the people.
And you're like, well, I get it.
Yeah.
I get why they're starving.
It's like she watched some Bob Ross.
They're doing something.
Yeah. But she was like way more talented than I thought.
Me too.
I mean, I totally give her credit for that.
Or it's like someone with a kid that you always thought was really like kind of a dumb kid, but then they can draw something and you're like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be great when you're not three. It's like crayons on a menu. But still, like, I was impressed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she used the sole of her foot as her paint palette, but that's okay.
She needs to paint the bottom of her foot with a wet nap. That's her brush.
I know.
Okay. So Joellen comes over for art day, and she's like, oh my God, you're in painting? And she's like, yeah, I've always done it my whole life. I had a Scholastic Art Award in high school.
And Joellen's like, shut up. I didn't know this about you. And we see that 3 weeks ago she found she had this big drawing that she made of herself. So they're painting, and Joellen's like, you know, I haven't talked to you about my last time I saw Liz, but like honestly, like it was just like aggressive and like really hurtful, and like I don't want to fight with her. Like, she's one of my best friends. I've now announced this for my 15th time. She's one of my best friends, and she was like berating me and like it like wouldn't stop, and like Kels, it was like a lot, and like we were in public, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't know why you're so mad at me.
Yeah, and Kelsey's like, yeah, I knew this was going to come. This day was going to come. And she's like, I've already been yelled at her. I'm not getting in the middle of this, basically. And she's like, so Kelsey, like, where do you stand in all this? Like, I'm not trying to make you, like, pick sides, but, like, it's a little uncomfortable. So, like, pick a side. You know, did I do something wrong? Am I crazy? Like what's going on? She's like, no, I mean, look, I don't think there was malice in you consoling Alicia, but listen, I already had my shit with Liz, okay? Just, this is my art day. Can we just concentrate on my art?
Part of me feels that, like, Kelsey's scared of her, but, like, we're all, like, because, like, there's no reasoning with Liz, and, like, at a certain point, it's Liz's way of the highway, and, like, she's scary as fuck. Like, she's gonna come through this fucking screen like The Ring and, like, climb out with a fucking hair and be like, wow, you know, like, because that's what she does. It's like a scene from The Ring, like, right? It's like The Ring.
That's so funny. I just told my friend comment on one of his Instagram videos, I was like, this is like watching The Ring. This video. And I was wondering where that came from. It's from watching Rhode Island. Damn it. I hate how this stuff just seeps into your brain.
Well, to be fair, I think we've mentioned things being like The Ring many times. Also, you know who's not going to like that? Liz. She's like, I'm not scary. You look like the possessed girl coming through the TV.
But also, Jo Ellen's one to talk about someone being scary. I mean, Jo Ellen's got her friends following somebody around with a private eye to get videos of like your husband cheating. Like, she's pretty fucking scary, too.
Yeah.
And I still don't believe that she did absolutely nothing to get put in those hospitals. I just don't believe it. She set something on fire at the very least.
So then they're like, okay, let's look at our paint. Let's look at what we did. So then Kelsey turns around and she made like this very lovely ocean sunset painting. And the music's like, whoa, like, oh, wow. And then Joellen turns around and it's like a amateurish painting of like a slut pig or slam pig.
Slam pig. So it's like slam pig.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Now we go to Bristol, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, guys, hold on a second.
Here we go.
Something big is happening. It's a Rula scene.
Wow. Get excited. Buckle up. It's about to get real intense. It's Rula and Liz. I haven't seen Liz since the polo match. And Liz checked up on me and sent a text message when I was sick in bed. And then, like, I hearted it, but I was so dead out of it that I didn't have energy to send the proper response. It's like, thanks for that update. You sent a heart emoji. Wow.
This text from Liz is so long.
My last text never went through. I get the notion that you like to keep things private, and I'm cautious to impose.
The fuck kind of sentence is that? Who structured that? I get the notion that you like to keep things private, and I'm cautious to impose? Are you even... Who's writing this?
I feel like she's... It sounds like puff, lyrics too. Like, isn't this like a song?
Yes, probably. It will
be
now. I get
the notion.
I've maintained from the beginning that I can only go as far as you're willing to meet me. I'm hearing that you've not been well. I'm sorry to hear this. Tell me it's none of my business, but I suspect a lot of that has to do with mental and emotional stress, and you need to be so guarded during a turbulent time. We've been there at some point, and I'm no exception. It's raw. It's real. It's life. Menopause gummy. But I can't be there for you if you don't allow me to. That being said, I personally would want someone to tell me this. ... But it doesn't say. Is she saying your husband is cheating? Is that after the ... Or just the whole text?
I don't know. I don't know if she's saying like, yeah, I don't know if it's implying about like the cheating or if she's saying like, oh, I wish someone would check in on me the way you check them.
So Rula goes, I hearted her text. I was so dead out of it. I just didn't have the energy to send a proper response when I was ill with that virus that they couldn't figure out or pinpoint. If I sent a 3-page text to somebody and they just hearted it and never wrote back, I mean, what the hell, Rula? You don't even show up. You can take the time to just write thank you.
Yeah, seriously.
Or TY.
TY. You had time to do a front flip into a film.
Yeah.
Bit. So they're sitting down and there's like a bee and Rula's like, oh my God. It's a bee. I'm scared. Look at, oh God, be careful. Liz's like, I'm actually the one that's allergic here. It's like, you know what? I don't know if I am, and I never want to know. It's my one thing. I can't handle bees. Oh no, look how distraught I am.
So she's like, what happened with Jo Ellen? So Liz tells her the story. She's like, we went
to Boston. I felt bamboozled and tag teamed. I was on the defense. Jo Ellen taking the space of peacemaker and mediator.
She's like, oh, Jo Ellen, who cares about everybody? She plays this role and that role. I'm like this. I'm like that. I'm like that person. I'm like this person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm doubting Joellen's authenticity.
Wake up. Good morning. Good morning, Elizabeth.
I'm not waking up because this is where you're wrong. I felt this way since the beginning.
And then they do air a quite lengthy montage of Liz pushing back on Joellen.
Joellen's starting shit constantly. Yeah.
She's like, I'm constantly questioning her authenticity.
Well, I'm flattered that she's so interested in my life, but at the same time, you know, go fix yours. Don't lash out at my husband. I wouldn't do that to yours. And there's a lot I could lash out on her with. I was like, well, is there with Joellen? She sort of has this hot guy and maybe a sister.
A lot of stuff they've already talked about.
But like that she has to fix.
She's like a swinger and that they're always cheating on each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're always
Is the sister banging Gary? But Rula's like,
that sister is probably banging Gary. I mean, come on.
Let's just say.
Wouldn't you if you were the sister?
Of course.
Let's just say
Joellen might be guilty of what she accuses Brian of doing. So one thing I've heard is that Joellen is not the most loyal to her husband. It's like the pot calling the kettle black, you know?
No, it's not, because she's calling out your husband, not you. And you're calling out her.
She has hard evidence on Brian. And like we all see it. That's the issue.
I don't know how hard it is. I mean, it is Brian. I would guess it's at least like half.
That's for our housewives show. That's like considered.
Well, I just mean his hard on.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like definitely a helicopterer. Like he's got to work.
Yeah. Now we go over to Thrive Performance Lab, and we know it's a real deal fitness place because it's not spelled with an I. It's spelled with a Y. Why?
Ew.
I don't know.
I see that.
Gross. Yeah, Thrive.
Why are you going to go to a performance lab that can't spell itself?
No. Thrive. Why? Thrive. Oddly enough, it's also at Audrey's. I'm like, what? They really do everything in this coffee shop.
So she's there with Billy, right?
David, the fitness coach, and their work. It's Kelsey and Billy, Bill, and they're working out and everything. And she's like, you know, touching his butt and stuff like that. And she goes, it's nice to look at a man that knows what he's doing. He looks like Hercules with the muscles and the blondish hair. And if he had like a mermaid tail, is that what Hercules had? A mermaid tail? It's like, lady, girl, this is why you don't get with a sugar daddy. Like, just do some, just
basic, not even some reading, like pamphlet reading maybe.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even saying go to college.
Hercules was a Disney movie, wasn't it? You'd think you'd at least know that.
Just do some basic anything. Anything. Get yourself some awareness of Hercules.
Like, how do you put on your shoes in the morning?
I don't know how she got a mermaid tail on
Hercules. She and Bill are...
She is the definition of a low-functioning AI machine. Like, it's like, hey, can you generate me an image of Hercules? And you're like, why does my Hercules have a mermaid tail on it?
Yeah, she's an idiot AI. So she's like flirting with Billy and stuff, and the workout guy, David, is like, what is this? What is all this baby? What are you guys like official? What do we got going on here? Come on. And Kelsey's like, Bill, you want to answer that? Would you call us official? He's like, of course. Say it with integrity, baby.
He's like, yeah, definitely. So they basically are official. And Kelsey's saying that like loyalty is a really big thing for her, which is of course why she was in a relationship with a guy who had another wife. But
and you were just running around with Bill while you were with that guy. But what loyalty... are you talking about? We just saw you with two boyfriends at the same time last week. What are you talking about? Loyalty is so important.
I want to make sure that when you put your foot in a garbage can, it's only in your garbage can.
She's crazy.
So she said, like, for the last, in the last relationship, you know, she was in it for 10 years. So she really tested Bill, and he passed with flying colors. And then they're like, what? How? She's like, he was celibate waiting for me for a year. I was like, lady, I have bad news for you. He was not celibate.
He was not celibate. At the very least, that guy was getting steam room blowjobs.
At the very least.
No way that guy was celibate. Nobody who looks like that is celibate for a year waiting for your ass.
No.
Knowing that you're with some guy for his money that's also fucking 10 other people. Stop it.
Kelsey, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. So they're talking about, Bill really wants her to give up her attachments to the ex, like the car and everything. And then this is when they talk about the health insurance. And this is when she talks about being in the car accident and finding out that she had a brain tumor and that it's been removed. But like she has to get an MRI twice a year to make sure it doesn't grow back. And so health insurance is even more.
But you know, have you noticed how they're, how she's talking is just like talking about leaving a job?
Mm-hmm.
I can't leave. That's my health insurance.
Yeah.
I had a brain tumor. I'm not leaving this company. Like, this company is like going to keep me on part time. I'm staying. Okay. What the hell?
I think what would be great for her is if she actually got a job and then she could try to pursue some health insurance. Hopefully, if she got the right type of job.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I stand on this. I think she has a decent point in like, if you're with somebody for 10 years, even if you weren't married, you're still with them for 10 years. So it's not crazy to keep taking some money from them. I think her thing is just, she's doing this whole like independent woman thing. Like, look at me, but she's still paying for everything. And I can get how Bill would maybe be annoyed by that, but she makes the point. She's like, so you want to take my car? He's like, it's not your car. Mm-hmm. She's like, but it's the car I'm driving. Like, what are you going to put me in? You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's her only thinking is like, well, what are you going to get me instead? And you know,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think, I think that she should aspire for, she's giving kind of like a complacency vibe, and I want to, like, that's fine. Like, it's fine to transition, but like, you should like try to get a job.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Her lifestyle of just living off of other people because she's hot. I think that's not something new in the world, right? Men and women both do it. And I don't think it's like an invalid way. Like, it's a lifestyle. People do it. And I accept it, but I don't respect it.
I'm not going to pretend fine. To. That's all like, fine.
It's,
but like,
it's weird. It's weird behavior.
But like,
to just be like, well, you want me to get rid of a car? Then what are you going to get me? Get a fucking life, Kelsey.
And then get a job. Get a job. You know, work at Audrey's. So now we go over to Providence, Rhode Island, and Joellen calls Alicia. She's in her car. And Alicia's like, oh my God, I was getting my hair done and my makeup done. Where are you? She's like, I'm driving right now and I'm going to actually go meet up with Liz. She's like, oh my God. She reached out to me and I need a break. Like, how did this happen? I'm happy that you guys are actually meeting up, but like, what's going on?
Yeah. So they go meet up and Joellen's like, here's what I want from today. I want to make things better. You know, and Liz is coming in with the same energy that I'm coming in with. She owes me a big apology, but truly, I don't think she'll ever give it. Like, if Liz has something in her head, she thinks people against her, even when they love her, even when they love her.
So Joellen's like, they sit down and Joellen's like shivering. She's like, thanks for meeting me. I'm so cold right now. Liz's like, oh yeah. Wow, is it bad?
This is where Liz is clearly fucked up. There's something going on with Liz in this scene, and I was cracking up. She doesn't even know what she's doing. She's like,
oh, yeah, you don't feel good? Well, you feel bad? You feel cold?
Mm. Her eyes start.
Were they not allowed to film inside? Like, what was going on?
I don't know, because it starts raining on them, and they just sit out there.
Like, yeah.
Well, it's raining.
And Joellen's like, oh, my God, it's like raining. So Liz, they both want an apology, and they both don't think they're actually going to get an apology, but they're going to hope for something. So Liz is like, hey, I have no desire to fight with you, none. What I'm not going to do right, though, is go back to the homeless thing and explain it, but I took offense to you positioning yourself as a peacemaker in that ride. Like, wouldn't you think a mediator say something along the lines of, hey, Alicia, you know what? You know how hard it, where hard is. You know that. Like, you know what she meant, what she didn't mean by it, you know? Like, rather than, oh, your feelings are justified and no one else can take that away, which is true, by the way. I wouldn't take that away from her.
So, but you were going at her hard, you know? And you were stepping on your own your own toes, you know, with the things you were saying.
I was stepping on toes? Oh, so now that's assault? You're saying I'm physically assaulting people?
She's like, I don't know what the phrase is. I don't know. But you were just mean, okay? I'm just saying you were mean. She's like, oh, really? Well, I think there's part of you that likes to escalate. Let's be honest. You don't try to make anything better ever.
Liz, all you had to do was say, okay, I get what you're saying. You weren't technically homeless, but I get how you would feel that way. Mm-hmm. That's it. Why do you have to say, like, I'm sorry, and then keep walking away going, I said I'm sorry. She was never homeless. Like, oh, my God.
Or say, hey, Alicia, I think a better word for you to use would be displaced or this or that, whatever. But, like, or say, this is coming from a place of love, but just so you know, you're gonna get like raked over the coals for this. Stop saying homeless. You should use this word instead because people are going to think you're saying this, whatever. Like, but she's just like, she's not handling it well either. And I get it. I sort of get Liz being like, you know, if you're going to be a mediator, like, also stick up for me too. Like, you know, because, like, advocate for me being like, I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just trying to correct her.
So Joellen's like, why are you so cruel to me? Like, what did I do to you? Like, what did I do to you that night? What did I do to you in the past? Why are you so mean? I've been nothing but a good friend to you. I look at you as one of my best friends. We're best friends of all time.
Stop saying we're best friends. We are not best friends. We were never best friends. Never been.
No, when my grandfather was dying, she was my first phone call. She's one of my best friends. And to hear that she's not, like, doesn't think the same way of me is, like, really heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. It's actually disgusting. It's really hurtful.
You know what? I'm real and you're fucking fake.
No, it's not real. It's cruel. It's mean. You know what? You pulled my hair. Did you kick my chair? Were you aggressive towards me?
I pulled your hair. I kicked your chair, darling. I pulled your hair. I kicked your chair.
Yeah, I remember you tugged it. I remember you kicking me in my chair. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, you remember I tugged your hair? You're a freak. I pulled your hair. You're a fucking devil. I didn't pull your hair and you know it.
So see, she's like, what you're doing is now you're trying to make it look like I'm physically abusing you and I did not do these things. Yeah. And Joellen's like, you did. You pulled my hair and you kicked my chair and then you put me into a hospital for getting boobs.
Okay, there's something so fucked up about you, you know? Well, why is it me that's fucked when you're the one who's fucking kicking me, huh? She's like, I don't need to be here with someone attacking me, attacking my character. It's kind of getting late. I think I gotta go.
And she tells us, you know, the minute she said I put my hands on her, I knew, I fucking knew right there, right? We're not here to reconcile. We're here to do battle. And I couldn't take it, you know? I did not put my hands on her in any kind of way, except maybe just to get her chair away from me.
Maybe.
There's a difference. There's a difference.
You know, I'm trying to get past this after her with all the things that she said to me after the way you treated me, and I'm trying to move past this.
Bye, 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 bye.
I don't want to fight with Liz. Like, I care about Liz. It's so embarrassing to know somebody that you care about doesn't care about you the same way.
And Liz is parked right on the street and gets in her car and passes and rolls down her window and is like,
fuck you.
You know, she rolls down her window and she goes, piece of shit. And she drives.
So that's where it leaves off. Wow. An exciting episode. All right. Well, we're all caught up on all those shows.
Yes,
thank you all for being here for this Rhode Island episode. And we'll catch you on our next episode of Watch What Crappens.
Yes. Thank you, Aaliyah.
Thanks, Aaliyah. Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She Answered the Call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Our Way is the Amber Way.
It's The Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put Your Hands Together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the Right Foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We Never Miss Her Call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big Yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll Never Hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's Share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K-Rob.
My Favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
Let's Get Savage with Laura Wildman.
In the Study with a Candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a Whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger That, it's Marlis Rogers.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the Lady of the House, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's Our Princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We Cannot Tell a Lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Please Don't Stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a Pose, it's Tori Rose.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.